As we've looked through this series, what we've discovered is kind of the big player in the story of Jonah is a big fish. But what we've hopefully learned together during this series is actually that's not the point of the story at all. You know, the big fish is just a bit player in the bigger story of Jonah. The real story about Jonah is God's extraordinary compassion and his extraordinary grace and his willingness for you and I to give chance after chance that we could, even though we run away from God, we can never outrun God. And so last week we talked about how Jonah went into Nineveh and he preached against the sin of Nineveh, and in his mercy, again, that's the key of the story, God spared Nineveh from his judgment. We're going to look at Jonah chapter 4 today, and this one is a little bit geared. Up to this point, we've kind of been gearing this series towards people who are runners, people like me and people like you that know kind of the thing that we should do. And we just don't do it, and we kind of run, whether it's our entire life or part of our life, whether it's our relationships or whether it's the way that we work with our temper or our money or our career. There's different areas of our life that I gotta know what you want me to do. I just don't want to do it. And so we're a little bit like Jonah, and we run from God. Maybe it's our whole life that you grew up in church, you grew up kind of in the faith, and then you got to college. You think, I'm just not sure about that whole thing, and you're back, and you're kicking the tires. You had some kids, or you just got married and you're thinking about maybe I should re-engage with that. But today is a little bit different. Today's discussion is really on what I think most of you probably are, good people who do the right thing. And that's most of us. I mean, it's Memorial Day weekend. You could be anywhere. You could be at the lake. You could be at home barbecuing. You could be doing anything, and yet you're here in church. And let me tell you, I'm so grateful because Memorial Day weekend is top three lowest attended services of the year. But you're here, which means you're my favorite. That doesn't help you, you know, at all. You don't get a sticker in your heavenly sticker chart at all, but I'm glad that you're here. It sure helps me feel a little bit better. But this is for good people who, man, if we do the right thing and we know the right thing to do, and for the most part, we do the right thing. That's the part that we're gonna kind of push against those people just a little bit. And so here's the big idea of today's message. If you have to leave early, or if you're watching online and you lose your internet connection, or you fall asleep, or whatever that looks like for you, here's kind of the big idea of today's message. That many of us have surrendered to God's moral will, but have never surrendered to God's global purposes. Here's what that means, because that's kind of a loaded sentence. That we do the right things, we resist temptation, we believe the Ten Commandments and follow the Ten Commandments. Maybe even you have a daily devotional that you do at your house, and you have a daily time of prayer, and you listen to the worship music and read scripture, and you, not only do you know the things, but you believe those, and you do those by and large. You try to follow God's moral plan for your life. I know there's right, I know there's wrong, and I want to do the right thing. And that's a beautiful, beautiful thing. And many of you are there. The problem is that we can stop there and never surrender. What does God want to do through me outside of me? What does God want to use my life for the people that are outside of my life? People that maybe don't behave as well as I do. Because I know what God wants me to do. I know when he says to start and when he says to stop, but I do those things, but maybe I've never gotten involved. And what does God want to do in the world around me? And the challenge of that is that when outsiders, people who are not committed followers of Jesus, when they look at us, and when we get to that point where we're good behaviors but don't have our eyes up to what God is wanting to do in the rest of the world, what they recognize in us is, yeah, you maybe behave better than me, but you don't seem to care about me. They say, you're good at behaving, you're just not good at being the hands and the feet of Jesus. You're concerned maybe about what God wants you to do and what God doesn't want you to do, but you're not concerned about the world around you. And it makes, here's the problem with that, is that it makes our faith resistible. It makes us, it makes people that are outside looking in and haven't connected to faith and haven't decided to follow Jesus, it helps them to keep us at an arm's length, because they look at, yeah, you behave, but you're pretty judgmental. And yeah, you do the right things, but you don't seem to care about me. And they see that people, even again, people that don't follow Jesus, they know how Jesus lived. And they see that there's a gap between the way that Jesus treated people and the way that maybe some Christians treat people. And we see that in Jonah, because by and large, except for his little encounter that said, I'm not going to go to Nineveh, I mean, Jonah was the guy that did all the right things. Jonah behaved and followed the rules, and he did what God wanted him to do. But what we're going to discover in Jonah chapter 4 is that he didn't go beyond just doing the right thing and behaving the right way. He didn't have his eyes up on people that God cared about. And so we're going to reread verses 6 through 10 out of Jonah chapter 3. If you were here last week, you've already heard me talk about these. But let me just give you a little bit of the backstory. So Jonah is in Nineveh. He's preaching against it. Verse number 6 from chapter 3, when Jonah's warning reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, took off his royal robes, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat down in the dust. This was the proclamation that he issued in Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles. Do not let people or animals or herds or flocks taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink, but let people and animals be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently on God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. And who knows, maybe God will relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish. Verse number 10, when God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring on them the destruction that he had threatened. Now, if Jonah ended right there, what a great story. Wow, there was a guy that ran from God, got swallowed by a fish, got spit up, went ahead and changed his ways, went to Nineveh, preached against it. The Ninevites repented, they turned to God, curtain closed, everybody claps. What a wonderful, wonderful story. I mean, God called Jonah, Jonah ran, but God didn't give up on Jonah and God didn't give up on the Ninevites. Yes, everyone lives happily ever after. And if we were going to make this story up, if we were going to write this story, we would say, well, Jonah saw that the Ninevites repented and turned to God, and he said, man, I am so glad that I did this. I am so glad that I was willing to obey what God told me to do, because my obedience led people to God. And now they can be in the same type of relationship with God that I can. God showed compassion on me, and then he showed compassion on this group of people that was far from him. What a great God. That's not how the story ends. We see chapter 4, and we discover in chapter 4 the reason that Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh in the first place. Jonah, it wasn't that he was afraid of the Ninevites. That's not the reason that he didn't want to go. What we're going to discover is that the reason Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh is not because of what they were going to do to him, but he was afraid of what God was going to do for the Ninevites. He wasn't afraid that the Ninevites were going to be violent and were going to kill him. He was afraid that God was going to show them compassion, and Jonah hated the Ninevites. Jonah looked at the Ninevites and said, you're worse than me, you're no good, and I hope that God judges you. I hope that God slays you. He did not want God to do something positive or helpful or merciful to his enemies. And so Jonah, again, a good behavior, a guy that by and large, except for one little thing, did the right thing, believed the Ten Commandments, believed that God was who he says he was, tried to follow him, but he stopped short of, what does God want to do in the world outside of me? I know what God wants me to do, but what about the people that are not like me? Verse number 1 of Jonah chapter 4, but to Jonah, this seemed very wrong. He became angry. Again, Jonah, here was the guy that just a few weeks ago, we don't know exactly the timeline, how long did it take him to get from the beach where he was spit up to Nineveh? We don't know for sure, but certainly within a span of a few weeks. God had shown him extraordinary compassion, extraordinary grace, extraordinary mercy. And when God does the same thing for other people, Jonah's attitude was not rejoicing and not thankfulness. It was anger. This isn't right. I mean, these people have sinned and they deserve to pay for their sin. Now, I'm glad I didn't have to pay for my sin. I'm really glad for your mercy on me, but I don't want you to show mercy on the other people. Verse number 2 says, he prayed to the Lord. Isn't this what I said, Lord, when I was still at home? Here's why I didn't want to go, by the way. We've had this conversation before, God. This is what I tried to forestall by fleeing to Tarshish. I knew. I didn't know that they were going to kill me or harm me. Here's what I knew. I knew that you're gracious. You're compassionate. You're slow to anger. You're abounding in love. A God who relents from sin and calamities. I knew you weren't going to punish them because I know that you are gracious and compassionate. This is an important little theology point. That if you have ever struggled with the difference between what it seems like God of the Old Testament and God of the New Testament, here's what Jonah knows that we should know. That God has always been compassionate, gracious, slow to anger, full of mercy. That he didn't have a personality change when Jesus came. That Jesus is like the Father. And everything that we see from Jesus is because of the Father. And Jonah understood that. Jonah understood that God's purpose in life is to be, or purpose for the world and our life is to be gracious and compassionate, that he's slow to anger, that he is rich in love, that he wants to gather people to himself. And so, again, if you ever wonder, if maybe you're here and you know that you're not a good behavior, you're a little bit like the runners that we've talked about the last few weeks, you need to remember this verse. Even if you're not sure if you believe it, you should put this on your fridge. That there has never been a moment where God has not been gracious to you. There never will be a moment that God will not be compassionate towards you. That God is slow to anger. That if you've ever wondered, have I gone too far away from God? The answer is found in this verse. No. Because he's full of compassion. He's slow to anger. He's rich in love. If you've ever wondered, is God going to write me off? Have I wandered and ran too far away from God's love and his mercy? What Jonah understood and what the Ninevites experienced is, no, you haven't. God still wants you to be in relationship with himself. And so Jonah is so fed up. He's so angry. He gets to the point where he says, just kill me. I mean, the idea that these guys are going to be in relationship with God, the idea that God is going to be compassionate with them is too much for me to take. Just go ahead and kill me. I don't want to be alive if people like this are able to be shown grace and mercy from God. What was Jonah's problem? Well, he was surrendered to the law of God. God, if you tell me to do something, I'll do it. If you tell me to go in this direction, I will do it. He just wasn't surrendered for the will of God for his life. And there's a big difference. That the will of God and the law of God, we have to have both. That should I follow the law of God? Last week we talked about it, that we should repent, that we should turn from our evil ways and turn towards God. But part of turning towards God is not just behavior modification. That if I stop short at just modifying my behavior, and if I never get the heart of God for other people, I'm too much like Jonah. That because Jesus said, well, you are the salt of the earth, you're the light of the world. It's more than just changing a behavior. It's what does my heart, how does it reflect the heart of the Father? Jonah knew the Ten Commandments, believed the Ten Commandments. You might know the Ten Commandments, believe the Ten Commandments, follow the Ten Commandments. Is your heart connected to what the Father's heart is connected to? The problem for Jonah is that he had never surrendered to the purposes of God, that he had never made himself fully available. God, what do you want to do in the world? And how can I play a part? God, what do you want to do for the people that are around me? And how can I open my hands and let you use what's in my hands, my talents, my skills, my ability, my money, whatever it looks like, to accomplish what you want to accomplish in the world? And consequently, what happened to him is exactly what will happen to us. And you've met some people like this. We become judgmental. When we simply follow the law of God without letting our hearts get connected to the purposes of God, we become judgmental Christians. And you've met some judgmental Christians. You have maybe been pushed away from Jesus because of some judgmental Christians that you knew they behave better than me, but they just don't seem to care about me. I mean, yeah, they live a better life than me, but there's nothing in them that seems like it's attractive to me because of the way that they treat me. What's the disconnect? The law of God and the will of God. That if I follow the law of God, if I simply change my behavior without letting my heart reflect the heart of the Father, I can become judgmental. It's a temptation for all of us that we become judgmental by being a good person who never surrenders to what God wants to do in the lives of the people who aren't as good as you. And you've got those. You work with those. You are in a neighborhood association with those. You are around all sorts of people who probably aren't as good as you because you're awesome. You behave really well. I mean, you're not perfect. Nobody's asking you to be perfect. But you behave yourself pretty well. And you know right and you know wrong. And for the best of your ability, you do the right thing, and you open up the YouVersion Bible app, and you read, and you pray, maybe not as much as you should, but man, you're trying to do the right thing. That's beautiful. You just can't stop there, because if you're great at following the rules but not good at showing compassion, we become like Jonah. Jonah became judgmental. And after we've been, I'm just putting in quotes, after we've been good for a while, you know, if God has rescued you out of something, if God has redeemed your life, and after we've gotten into the pattern of being good, it's easy for us to forget that I too was a recipient of God's mercy. That I too was a recipient of something that I didn't deserve. And that's an easy place to get to. I've been, again, quote unquote, good by and large my whole life. I've never had like a season of my life that I've just went off the rails. I just haven't. I've just never had like this crazy season of my life. And because of that, it would be very easy for me to think, I needed some grace, but not that much grace. I needed some mercy, but I didn't need as much mercy as the other person, because I was never addicted and I was never on this crazy way of living. And so, yeah, I needed grace for like the little parts of me, but not that much grace. It's just not true. The grace that I needed was the same grace that the worst person that you can imagine needs. Because imagine it this way. Some of you have heard me use this illustration. Imagine that you had to jump across the Grand Canyon. Well, some of us can jump further than others. Some of us have some special shoes, and we've trained, and we've really worked hard, and we can get further than people. But how many of you know you're not getting all the way? You can't make that jump. And some people can't jump very far. Some people can't jump at all. Some people, they go to jump and some rocks slip up underneath their feet and they fall. But here's what's true for all of us. No matter how far we jump, we all end up at the bottom of the ravine. Nobody can get all the way across. And so what do we need? The people that can jump a long ways and the people that stumble on their way to the jump, we all need someone to carry us to the other side. None of us could get there on our own. I can't get to God on my own, even though by and large, I've been a good person. And you can't get to God on your own because of the way that you behave. Jonah couldn't get to God because he obeyed the Ten Commandments. He needed the exact same grace and the exact same mercy that the Ninevites needed. And when I think that I'm better than you, it's easy to forget to care about you. That's the temptation. I get so focused on what does God want me to do? How does God want me to live? How does God want me to behave? How does God want me to think? And how does God want me to talk? And that is good. That is God changing your life. But again, if I can just repeat myself, behavior modification without receiving the heart of the love of God makes us judgmental people. And the reason that maybe you have resisted Jesus, and the reason that people outside of the church resist Jesus, this isn't the only reason, but one of the reasons, is that they see people that behave well and care little. They see people that behave well but love poorly. And that makes our faith resistible. That makes people say, I just don't think I want to get with that because I don't see a lot of Jesus's love in them. I see that they don't use the same language I use, and I see that they're kinder than I am, but I also kind of feel rejected by them. That's the story of Jonah. And there's something, again, we can get, as we progress through this, and I think to myself, I'm a pretty good person, there's something in us, again, you've got to push against this, you've got to resist this, that wants God's grace for me, but God's justice for other people. Isn't that sometimes true in us? It's kind of an ugly part of us, that we're like Jonah, and that, yes, I want God to give me grace, I want God to give me mercy, but those people, they need judged. I mean, he stabbed me in the back. Judge them. He did this to me, and he hurt me, and she wounded me, and they were like this. And so, God, don't show them grace. Show them judgment. I want them to pay for their sin, and I want God to give me grace for my sin. That's where Jonah was. Jonah, I mean, again, a few weeks ago, he was in a fish. He was lost. He was at the bottom of the ocean. We read his prayer in week number two. God, the roots of the mountain are my dwelling place. What did Jonah need? He needed God's grace. And how many of you know he was grateful for God's grace? But when he looked at people he didn't like and people that weren't like him, what did he want? He wanted God's judgment. And my temptation is to go there. My temptation is grace for me and judgment for thee. But we remember what Jesus said in John, for God so, you've memorized this verse, you know this verse. Why did God do what he did? Well, he loved so that, he gave so that whoever believes in him, they're not gonna perish but have eternal life. Why did God come to the world? He didn't send his son into the world to condemn the world. He sent the, so that, man, I want the world to be saved. That is the heart of the Father. That is the heart of the God who showed you grace, who showed me grace, and wants to show the rest of the world grace. And what he does then is he puts on my heart his heart. He puts in me, I want you to go and be the light of the world. I want you to, that same grace that you've been given, I want you to go and share that with a group of people who have not yet received that. And so here's the question for you to wrestle with. Have you ever surrendered to what God wants to do in the world around you? Now, I know many of you have surrendered to how God wants you to live. And I want you to keep doing that. I know that you've surrendered to how does God want me to talk? And I want you to keep doing that. And I want you to surrender other areas of your life. Maybe there are some areas where you haven't said yes to God with your money or with your relationships. I want you to continue to say yes to God's moral will. I want you to do that. And I want you to take a step further. And I want you to say yes to God's purposes for the world. How can I get involved in what God wants to do? His prayer sounds like this. God, I'm available. The things that you've put in my hands, I'm available to be an extension of your grace and your compassion and your mercy as I go into my life today. As I go to work, as I'm picking up kids from school, as I'm living my life, as I'm at the lake, the grace that you have extended to me, I want to be an extension of that. And some of your story, right? Some of your story is that you got into relationship with Jesus, not because every single one of your questions was answered, and not because every argument that you had suddenly got solved. The reason that some of your story is the reason that you connected to Jesus or reconnected to Jesus is because you met somebody who showed you love. And you met somebody that showed you grace. And you met somebody that was willing to look past your mistakes and your misbehavior and was an extension of the grace of God in your life. And it drew you to the Father. And you are now connected to Jesus because of the light of somebody else's life, that they received grace and they gave grace to you. That no one, and some of your story is maybe somebody sat down and explained this argument and explained this and all of your questions got solved. That might be some of your story, but for most of us, the story is I was loved into the kingdom of God. That I had heard that God loved me, and then somebody in my neighborhood, somebody in my family, somebody that I worked with, they showed me that love of God. They weren't content with just behaving well. They took on the heart of God. Judgmental Christians, and it's easy for me to become a judgmental Christian. I've got to pump the brakes on me being judgmental. I'll just be honest with you. That of all of the sins in the world, this is probably the one that I struggle with the most because I'm generally, again, I'm pretty good. I kind of know the right thing. I know what to do. And so it would be so easy for me to become judgmental and to look down at people who aren't, quote unquote, as good at me. But man, it's an obstacle to other people becoming Christians. And again, that might be some of your story. The reason that you walked away from faith isn't because you suddenly heard an argument that disproved something or you saw something that just totally convinced you that God wasn't worth following. That probably wasn't your story. For some of you, the story was, I kind of got pushed out because I just didn't feel welcome. I didn't feel loved. I didn't see the connection between what people said and sang about on Sundays and how they treated me on Thursdays and on Fridays and on Wednesdays. They seemed judgmental, and I just kind of pushed away from that. And so God says to Jonah, verse number 4, hey, Jonah, is that right? Is it right? Jonah, you're wanting to die? You would rather die than see the people that you hate be shown compassion by me? Is it right for you to be angry? I mean, Jonah, you of all people, you remember where you were a couple weeks ago? Remember how the stomach acids were washing over you? Do you remember how you had no hope at all and you needed my kindness and you cried out for my kindness? Wasn't it just a few weeks ago that you needed the grace and the compassion of God? The same question can be said of us. Wasn't it just recently when you needed the grace and the compassion of God? Was it last night that you needed the grace and compassion of God? Was it early this morning when you needed the grace and the compassion and the kindness of God? Was it earlier this week when you needed God to be slow to anger with you because you promised you never would, and then you're back into it and you said, this is the last time and I'm back into it? You were the recipient. And is it right for you to be angry? You needed me to be patient with you, and you're not willing to let me be patient with other people. And Jonah had gone out, sat down at the place east of the city, and there he made himself a shelter and sat in its shade and waited. He just thought, well, maybe it's all gonna turn. Maybe we are gonna see some fireworks. Maybe some people are gonna get blown to smithereens. And Jonah was excited. Jonah was pumped to see some people judged. And again, there's a little bit of that in us, right? We kind of want some bad things to happen to some bad people. Some bad people did something to me. They said this about me, and so I just kind of sit back and say, okay, God, I mean, I'm gonna pray for them, but my prayer is that they would be infested with the fleas of 1,000 camels. I mean, that's my prayer for them, as they could just have a miserable life. And we just kind of sit back and we say, God, what are you gonna do to them? That's Jonah. Jonah had gone out and sat down by the place east of the city. He made himself a shelter, sat in the shade, waited to see what would happen to the city. Then God provided a leafy plant. It's a wild story. Provided a leafy plant and made it grow up over Jonah to give shade for his head to ease his discomfort. And Jonah was, well, that's pretty great. Pretty happy about the plant. I needed some shade. But then, at dawn the next day, God provided a worm which chewed the plant so that it withered. And when the sun rose, God provided a scorching east wind. And the sun blazed on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. He got back to, I just want to die, he said. It would be better for me to die than to live. Jonah, what's your primary concern? Well, my primary concern is me. My primary concern is what I want. My primary concern is I didn't want to go to Nineveh, not because I was afraid of Nineveh. I didn't want to go to Nineveh because it's going to make me mad that other people are shown grace. Jonah, what do you want? Well, I want you to be kind to me. I want you to give me what I don't deserve. I want you to give me a plant so that I can have some shade. I want you to answer my prayers. My primary concern is me. Christians in the room, again, it's hard for us to wrestle with. What's your primary concern? What's your primary concern? I'll tell you what the primary concern of God is. The primary concern of God is that he came to seek and to save those who are lost. God sent his son into the world not to judge the world, but to show compassion. Why? Because he's slow to anger. He's rich in love. What is your primary concern? So John said it again to him. Well, verse number 9, is it right for you to be angry about the plant? Matter of fact, God, it is right for me to be angry about the plant. That's what Jonah, imagine this conversation. What a wild conversation. Is it right for you to be angry about the plant? It is, and I'm so angry, I wish that I were dead. Verse number 10, but the Lord said, you've been concerned about this plant, though you did not tend it or make it grow. It sprang up overnight and it died overnight. And should I not have concern over the great city of Nineveh? You're caring about the wrong things. That's what God is saying. You're caring about only you. You're caring about a little plant. You're worried about that you're a little hot. I've got bigger things on my mind. Should I not have concern about the great city of Nineveh, in which there are more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left hand, and also many animals. And that's the end of the book of Jonah. It just ends right there. There's no happy ending. There's no bow wrapped around it. There's no lessons for us to learn. There's no, okay, here's a little, that's the end. What's God trying to tell us from this? I think that of the many things that we could get out of the book of Jonah, Jonah chapter 4 reminds us that God is concerned about you, but he's also concerned about everyone around you. That God is concerned about you. That God does want to show his love to you and show his grace to you. And if you are a runner, if you feel like you've ran away from God, great news, God's concerned about you and he wants to call you home. And God's concerned about the people around you, the person that you work with, the person, and this is hard for us, the person that you hate the most, the person that just, I mean, you see them and your blood starts to boil because of the way that they've treated you, they've treated your family, the things that you've done, and you just, I mean, your fist just clench. God cares about them. That you've never been face to face with somebody that God has not loved and God does not want to show compassion and grace to. The person that you know, the person that you're thinking of right now that doesn't behave nearly as well as you behave, God cares about them. This generation of teenagers who are more and more and more drifting away from God, God cares about them. The people that have grown up going to church and being connected to God, but have in their college years or in their early years drifted from that, God cares about them. And so three questions, then we're gonna be done for the day. Questions for just the good people to wrestle with. Questions for the people that believe God and try to follow God. Questions that you can self-determine, is my heart also connected with the heart of the Father? I know that your good behavior, these questions will help you determine, is my heart connected to the purposes of God? Does your time, skill set, and money intersect with what God's greater purpose is in the world? Or do they just intersect with your purposes in the world? You've got a purpose, you've got a plan, and if we're not careful, we're a little bit like Jonah, that I'm just kind of concerned about me, 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 me. Or have you stepped across that line and said, the gifts that God has given in my life, the time that I have available, the money that I have available, I want to do what I can on behalf of God for the people that are around me. I don't want to be so self-focused. Are you content with just being good? Is that the finish line? Is that the finish line? Is your goal behavior modification? Or have you stepped across the line and said, God, what are you concerned about? God, when I go into this day, I know that I need to be careful the way that I talk, and I know that I've got to be careful that my temper doesn't get the best of me, but as I'm working on that, what do you want to do through me for the people that are around me? How do you want me to be as I go into this office, as I coach this T-ball team, as I'm part of this community, as I'm whatever it is in your life? How do you want me to live in such a way that the grace that you've shown to me is evident to the people that are not like me? Here's the best one that you can ask. What do your prayers sound like? What do your prayers sound like? Are they, help me, help me, help me, help me, help me, help me, help me? Bless me. I need this. Would you help me with this? And no, I'm not anti those prayers. Those are good prayers. You should pray those prayers. You're welcome to pray those prayers. God listens and God's answers to those prayers. But if you have never prayed, God, help me to show the people that I'm around your light through my life, you might be a little bit like Jonah. If you've never prayed, God, help me to be a carrier of your grace to the people that I'm around today, you might be a little bit like Jonah. And some of you get this, right? Some of you get this. Some of you are so invested in your communities and so invested in the people that you're around, and you wake up every day and you've got somebody, you've got a list of people that you're praying for. God, help me to show them grace. God, help me to show them your love. God, help me to show what you want for their life through my life, and I want you to keep going, and I'm cheering for you. You're not gonna get it right all the time, but man, I'm just cheering for you. And some of us, we haven't done that yet. That you are so grateful for people that have shown you grace, and you are so grateful for people who give of themselves, and you are a beneficiary of people that have given of themselves, but you've never crossed that line of giving of yourself. It's time to step across the line. Don't be just content with behavior modification. Step across the line as God, what do you want to do in the world? That you're grateful, but maybe you're not involved. You're grateful, but you're not letting your talents and your skills and your abilities be evident to the people around you. Not so that people look at you, but so that people look at the Father. What did Jesus say? Let your light so shine before men that they'll see your good works and they'll praise your Father in heaven. That's God's purpose in the world. God wants to draw all men unto himself, that he's not willing that any should perish, but that all would have everlasting life. And how does God do that? People like you, people like me. It's rarely, and it would be so easy if it was this. But it's really rare that it's through a preacher on a Sunday morning. This is not God's primary tool to save the world. I'm grateful that I'm able to do this, but my work on Sunday mornings is not God's primary goal of drawing people to himself. It's the job that you applied for and that you got and you work to somebody. Why do you work next to that person? Is it possible that you work next to that person for a greater purpose than just a paycheck? Is it possible that you're coaching that little softball team, that little t-ball team, not just out of random, but maybe there's a parent of a kid who maybe you're supposed to connect with? Have you ever considered that maybe the places that God has put you is for a purpose, bigger than just yourself? And so here's a prayer that you can all pray if you want to cross that line. God, all that I have and all that I am is available to you so that you can impact the world. At the end of the day, it's God. At the end of the day, it's God that draws people to himself. But if I can be used to help with that, then I'm available. If I have money in my hands that you can use, that's available. If there's some skills that you've given, that's available. If there's some time that I have, well, that's available so that you can change the world. Let me pray with you. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. Lord, I am tempted to be a lot like Jonah, to be content with just being good, but not being your light and your extension of your grace and your mercy in the world. And so, Lord, would you help me and would you help the rest of us that might find themselves in that position to be an extension of you? We are so grateful for your mercy that you've poured out on us. We're so grateful for you being slow to anger with us, rich in love, wonderful and abounding in mercy. And so, Lord, would you help us to take what we've received and extend that to the people in our world, the people in our life, that our workplaces, that our families, that our neighborhoods can be changed because of you, but that we would play a part in that. Help us not to just stop at behavior modification, but help us to get your heart, to our heart be connected to you so that the world could be changed through you. It's in your name that we pray. Amen.